Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 38 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
In this episode, I'm lucky enough to talk to Izzy from Izzy's Brooklyn Smokehouse in, of course, Brooklyn, New York. It's a great story. It's super interesting. He has a kosher barbecue restaurant. There's, I think, maybe two or three in the United States. There might be maybe one or two more than that I don't know about, but there's not that many. And what's really, really, really interesting is that he's putting out Central Texas style barbecue, but he's never tried Central Texas style barbecue. At least he hadn't tried it until July when he went out to Texas. And Aaron Franklin and Daniel Vaughn, he cooked with them. And Aaron cooked for him pretty much. And he got a chance to try his style, his specific style. But he had just gone off of what he had learned off of the internet, off of videos from Aaron, off of Aaron's books, off of a mentorship that he's had with the Wandering Q guy. It's super interesting. We get deeply into what kosher means for a restaurant, as well as butchering, about his restaurant, about a new restaurant that he is in the works, a larger version of what he has.
If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing swell, actually. How are you doing? Still pretty early by you?
Yeah, it's pretty early. That's okay. That way I can get the day kind of running full speed. So what's the day look like for you?
Well, these days it's actually easier than it used to be. It used to be that, you know, we used to come in like at 3-4 o'clock, you know, check on the briskets, you know, get ready to wrap them. And then, you know, the day continues. Now it's like coming in at 8 o'clock, you know, briskets already wrapped. Check on them again, make sure what has to go in for the rest of the day. And, you know, throughout the day it just goes, and by the time you know it, the day's over already.
Well, that gives you a chance, because of how you have it now, gives you a chance to be with customers more, right?
Customers, how I have it set up. You know, I have some more employees that I could trust with the smoker, which is one of the hardest things in the beginning. Oh, yeah. Was.
That's nice that you have that. That's huge.
Absolutely.
So how did you start out? I'd like to hear your background. I know you weren't in the barbecue business to begin with, right?
Yeah, I was never in the food business. I grew up, I'm still I'm a religious Jew. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, is approximately, I would say, 5 years ago, I heard that there was going to be a kosher barbecue pop-up, because up to then, my only barbecue knowledge was on TV. And I would say probably 5 years ago, the barbecue scene in New York wasn't even close to how it is now.
Oh, hands down.
And my wife and I had heard, I convinced my wife to take off on a Sunday that we should go to, it was up in Manhattan at the time.
Okay.
We heard that it actually, the guy's name was, it's a pretty funny name. It was called the Wandering Q.
That's cool.
So we went up that Sunday. You know, we went there. The line was probably like a few hundred people online at the time. And, you know, he had this gay gator pit over there, which, you know, he had this, you know, the aroma of this. It was burning oak and cherry over there.
Okay.
And it just smelled so good. And we were online for like an hour. We probably spent a few hundred bucks there that day on food. And the short story is, ever since that day, I've been obsessed with, you know, I was obsessed with, you know, wood-fired food. So I decided I want to do briskets at home. Like a few weeks after that, I followed him a few more times. I tried doing some briskets at home from a gas grill.
Okay.
I bought a nice, gorgeous brisket, first cut brisket that was fully trimmed on my gas grill, you know, for 4 or 5 hours, and it was so horrible. But, you know, I'm very stubborn in a way that, you know, like, I have to, if I do something, I have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on, you know, I bought myself a Smoky Mountain, and I kept on that guy. His name is Ari White, actually, from the Wandering Q.
Okay.
He's one of the pioneers of a kosher barbecue.
Okay.
I kept on driving him nuts. You know, the small kid at the time, when I was much younger. The time driving nuts, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, what's going on? I built a relationship with him. He was very good to me in the beginning. And slowly, slowly over time, I decided at a certain point, in doing, you know, these backyard runs. Actually, the first time I did a smoke at night, it was a really funny story.
Okay.
Probably in the morning. It's in the winter in New York, in Brooklyn, New York, in a Jewish community. You know, small houses, small backyards, like a little porch. And suddenly I see at 3 a.m, there's about 3 fire trucks pull up to the front of my parents' house, because I live in an apartment. And I didn't have anywhere to smoke, so I smoked at my parents' house that night. And I see they're smelling. And I walk out of my boxers. I'm like, guys, I think you're looking back here. The firemen walk to the back of the back. Like, check, 1, 2, guys smoking a brisket. I think we're good. common, someone smoking, in the winter in Brooklyn in a religious community, smoking briskets. So, the short story is that at a certain point, I realized that, I don't like my job. I back then I worked for a building supply company. We sold all kinds of supplies to buildings. And I said, you know what? I don't know anything about the food industry, whatnot, but I definitely love this. So I'm gonna go into this. And it was a long, long year plus, probably a year and a half till we got our act together. And I ended up opening up a 600 square foot store,
Okay.
which is like which we had no, because we thought it would be like a small community place. And we're open now 2.5 years, and ever since then it's been blown up, and we're very fortunate and lucky.
And it was called Izzy's Barbecue Addiction at the beginning,
Well,
right?
yes, actually, it was a Facebook page which I started called Izzy's Barbecue Addiction,
Okay.
because I was just selling out of my house only to cover the cost of what a brisket cost. Kosher brisket at the time was like $120 or more. So, it's all good and well when your friends tell you your brisket's good when they're eating for free, but you really want to see how your brisket really is. And in hindsight, I thought it was amazing back then, but it was awful compared to what it is now. So,
You probably didn't know at the beginning how to cut it properly either.
well, no,
Or
you know what?
online, maybe online or what.
Exactly. The most instrumental video for me was the Aaron Franklin videos, the brisket videos. That's probably, I would say, if somebody wants to start, brisket, that's a phenomenal video. I actually watched that at the beginning, but I definitely cannot achieve the tenderness and everything else he had on the brisket. But just, every day, the point is to learn and learn every day.
And so finding a kosher supplier at the beginning, was that easy because there were kosher butcher stores, or did they have to get it from someone?
No, so actually, I was able to get it from the butcher stores, but it was very uncommon that somebody wants a whole pack of brisket because
Exactly.
most people want the second cut brisket, trimmed up, or the first cut, whatever it is they do for corned beef. But a whole pack of briskets was not uncommon. I remember I tried trimming my briskets. All I had was a bread knife in my house at the time, and so it took me like 3 hours to trim the brisket. We had it was fun, it was hard, but I definitely enjoyed it every time.
Did you
So.
make any trips down to Texas prior to doing this? To actually opening a restaurant?
No, but no, actually, I had really good relationships. People here in Brooklyn were actually nice. Whether it was Matt Fisher from Fletcher's or Billy Durney from Hometown, we went to see all the smoke houses in New York, because back then we didn't really know anything. Just we're learning what the scene is. And for us, doing a trip down to Austin, or at the time was like, we can't eat, we keep
You can't eat
kosher.
it, right? Yeah, that's true.
Eating the food was tough. So like, we built relationships with the people here. The beautiful thing about barbecue, what it is, it's a work of passion, that when you see somebody else who does it, it's not competition. It's almost like, you don't shut up about it.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I do that. I can't help it.
Here we're really all the people were really cool about it. And then at a certain point during we opened this past summer, we went to Dallas, we went to Pecan Lodge, and a couple went to Higham, just to see what's going on.
For sure.
And when we really were fortunate was when we competed in Brisket King this past year, and we came first place, and Daniel Vaughn and Aaron Franklin were one of the judges. And Daniel and Aaron, heard my story, how I'm trying to emulate Central Texas barbecue, but I don't even know what it, how it's supposed to taste, even though I assume I know how it tastes.
Yeah.
So Aaron and Daniel were really cool, because Aaron is releasing his new line of smokers, and he wanted to know what it takes, for me to eat his brisket. So we arranged a trip back in August. It was August or September, I can't remember. I have to check. It wasn't that long ago. And that trip was, Aaron was really cool. His whole restaurant burned down. He could have canceled the trip on us, but he's like, no. And the whole experience was amazing. And that was my first introduction really to Central Texas. And I thought I was gonna be, like, how much better could the brisket be? But it was really amazing. The fact that he was cooking on an offset, and cooking with that post oak, and the whole vibe around it, Aaron and his crew and Daniel, it was just an amazing experience.
I remember reading the post that that Daniel wrote, like the piece, and it was I was super impressed. And then once I read, like I read, I knew it was kosher barbecue, and then I read that it was you, and I was like, wow, that is awesome, because it gives you a chance to have it from Aaron, which is
It was
that's
really cool.
once in a lifetime for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
So can you explain to people what makes kosher? I guess that's a weird segue, but it's having brisket my whole life, and then actually having Central Texas barbecue brisket may change my life. It was like, oh my gosh, this is what brisket can really taste like. What differentiates for people, the layman that might not know about kosher, what differentiates the whole process?
So the process by us is that, first of all, we could only use the front quarter. We don't use the hind quarter because the sciatic nerve is a really hard nerve to remove, and you have to be one of the most skilled slaughterers around. So what the rabbis they did is they outlawed, you know, that you're not supposed to use. There are people still do it, but we generally don't use the back quarter of the animal. We only use the front half. And what happened is that besides for that, the animal can't have any like real injuries. You know, that's why we blow through the lungs and we check that there's no holes in it. And there's certain qualifications that require the animal to be kosher. It has to be healthy. That's general. Can't be sick. That's one of the main things.
Okay.
What happened is once we realize that the animal is, you know, healthy enough and everything, you know, it's slaughtered. It's called by a shochet, somebody who's a rabbi who has the skills and, you know, the laws to slaughter animals. You know, he has to check the animal and he has to, not to do a blessing, but he has to make a blessing, but he has to want, you know, there's a misconception. People think that as long as you bless the animal, it's good. So it's not the way it works. So besides all the qualifications, the rabbi, the one is at, who has to slaughter the animal, and he has to give one, you know, slit through the neck. That animal cannot suffer at all when you're doing that. And what they do is after, in order to drain the blood, they salt the animal. And what happens by default is that when you salt the animal, the kosher meat in general much more salty than non-kosher meat. So that's something that we're playing with, because if I were to follow a general Central Texas rule, which is 50-50 salt to pepper, even though that's the same what they do, I don't think they really do that. I think there's a little small thing they play with. But you know, even Wayne Mueller, he uses like a 12-to-1 of pepper to salt. But he's also really cool. I forgot to mention him. We hung out with him on the trip,
Oh, that's
and
cool.
he was really cool, very cool. So, you know, we're just constantly playing with our rubs, you know, we don't want it to be over salty, but you still want to have the salt in there. And the hardest thing for us is that when we cure our own pastrami in house, so getting that brine to go through but not being over salty, that's one of the hardest things we have to play with.
That is, yeah, that sounds like that would be really difficult. So until now, what should people know, like being a kosher restaurant too, there's a difference in a kosher kitchen as opposed to a regular kitchen.
Yeah, in our kitchen, there's no milk. It's only meat in our kitchen. You know, we have to have somebody here on site who has to, because there's another thing is that you can't have any bugs in your food either, in the vegetables. So we have to have somebody here who's monitoring all the, you have to have someone Jewish who's monitoring all the other workers here. And also at night, you know, we have another, like, besides the fact that we're much more expensive kosher meat, we have to have somebody here besides for the regular person who's here at night feeding the fires. We have to have a rabbi sort of who's here as well, you know, monitoring, making sure that no one else is putting anything else or bringing any food in from the outside. So in hindsight, I would love if I was able to be cheaper in pricing, that's so I could have everybody come. But unfortunately, you know, it's not the way it works.
Yeah. So what was it like that very first week or that first day that you guys opened? What was that?
It was hell. It was hell because we're my part. Well, my partner's my uncle, actually. He had ran a bagel shop in Brooklyn where we live. But going to a restaurant, a meat restaurant, which is a totally different anomaly completely, we had no idea what we're doing really. And we got slammed from day one. You know, there was already a line out the door coming
Wow.
day one. So we just honestly looking back at it, I don't know the days how we survived. Had we probably opened up a bigger spot than we had done, it probably would have been really hard for us. You know, because it was a small spot, we were able to overcome these you know, these minor mistakes and stuff. So it was, looking back at it, it's like we're trying to working on a new spot. We're opening up. We're hopefully trying to open up a much bigger spot than we have now.
Okay.
You know, the food should match the ambiance, almost like that barbecue hall style food. So working on that now, and even though that's a much bigger project, I have less anxiety with this than I had opening up my 600 square foot store, which we're in now.
I can imagine what kind of smokers. Well, that's really cool that you're opening a new spot. Is that going to happen probably early next year?
Well, we're
Or
in
mid?
probably a year to year and a half, 2 years. I don't know. Here in New York, everything takes a while, so we have to finalize some
That is
stuff.
true.
It's a project. So currently now we're smoking on a JNR Smoke Master,
Okay.
which is a 600-pound capacity. But in the new store, God willing, we're gonna have two big oils. We're gonna have over there also from JNR.
Well, that would be killer. That would be great. So, what are you guys serving? Were you serving in the menu that you have right now? Is that the menu you've had from the beginning?
Well, yeah, pretty much. There's a few items we added on, but it's pretty much just in our brisket and our diner ribs are our biggest sellers here, and then we have all the other stuff, the chicken, what I was surprised is that I happen to love turkey, but most people come and they don't really want, turkey, they want beef.
Yeah,
So
but from a good barbecue joint, turkey is phenomenal.
I love turkey. We're making turkey yesterday for Thanksgiving, and it's delicious. One of the cool things that we do here is that because we don't have the option of pork ribs, so like I substitute that with, we use lamb ribs and
Oh.
back ribs. So it's a little more funky than lamb ribs, but because a lot of people when they come, they're expecting lamb chops
Yeah,
and
for sure.
two different types of cuts. So we're trying to play around with it for a while. We're doing veal ribs. We're constantly trying to keep it Central Texas, but at the same time, I'm not tied to that, lineage. I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm able to do stuff that, if I want to do this, if I want to do prime rib, I'm doing prime rib today. Just constantly playing around. And by the way, prime rib is such a beautiful cut. The
Oh,
smoke.
it's amazing. Yeah, and there's not a lot of barbecue. Like the only place I've ever had it at is in Texas, and it's not even every place has that.
Yeah, but I think there are a few places now that are starting to come up with it more, to come up with it
Or like
more
at
and
least
more.
one day a week. I know it's like
Exactly,
South
one day.
Switch has like a Wednesday that they do it, and yeah.
Yeah.
But now with what has it been like? I was often curious with someone that's kosher that comes into your restaurant, and is it like an epiphany? Like they've never had barbecue like that. What is that like? What's that moment like?
So there's a few things to it. The first thing is the it's tough. It's tricky, but it's amazing is the fact that when we first opened up, like in kosher, it was either fancy or fast food. There was no like barbecues on exist. It didn't exist. And when somebody, let's say, is getting a shawarma, it comes out to $45, $50, and like I'm serving it on a tray with a plastic fork and knife, and like, hold on, could I have a metal fork and knife? I'm like, listen, do me a favor. If you can't cut it with this knife, then come back to me. Like, you know what? You're right. It was delicious. And but what's amazing is that the following that we got. People really love the food, and like we have people who come back 3-4 times a weekend. We have these fans. We're very fortunate and blessed, and just people like it's like people go out to eat in restaurants, in fancy restaurants, and they'll come out to here to eat after, because our just it's almost like it's our sort of soul food almost. People come here and they just pick out, they'll order trays and trays of food, and they'll just get stuffed in kosher really, that does not really exist really. So we built a great following.
Are you? I think there's maybe two or three kosher barbecue restaurants in the United States. I know in Florida there's Mendel. I think he has a.
Yeah, him and I are really good friends. He just opened a few months ago.
Yeah. And I've been meaning. I do you know Simon Majumdar from?
Yeah, for
Yeah,
the Food Network.
yeah, yeah.
He's
He was when I interviewed him. He was wearing a kosher barbecue T-shirt, and he goes to the Kosher Barbecue Festival. I think it was in Kansas City, possibly.
in the city. I used to go there till this year. I went. I couldn't go this past year.
Yeah, I think there's one in California. I definitely want to go because it's such a fascinating idea. Because I honestly I feel so naive. I didn't even know that existed. That there were kosher barbecue festivals.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's you know what's really cool is that it's everyone's starting on a plum the playing field is level because we're responsible to give you equipment because everything has to be kosher. We give you all the meat, so everyone's starting on an even playing ground. So it's really, really cool. Only thing is I don't like about the judging. I can't stand the KCBS. Like I went to Dallas and I competed in a kosher contest, and we did well on brisket. No, sorry, ribs, turkey, chicken. We came first or second, first or second. And brisket, we came out of 10 teams. I think we came nine. And you know what the comments were?
What?
Brisket was too soft and mushy, too soft and moist. And we found out that all the judges finished the brisket was. And my friends were laughing because we're like a whole core of friends who, like I was mentioning with Mendel and a few other friends who we go compete with, and we all know that my brisket is phenomenal at these competitions. But they know that I'm not going to win because that's not what the judges are looking for. They're looking for this saucy injected phosphate that's bursting with flavor, not necessarily a beefy flavor, and it's not the way I cook, So it's just fun. We have a good time.
Yeah, well, it's the competition world. They have different expectations. It's a little strange, but it makes sense within that competition world, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you're trying to get the maximum bite flavor out of one bite, so. But yeah, I don't like it. I think that it's going to start to switch over the next few years, that they're going to gear more towards around the beef than more about the sauces or everything. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be it. That'd be really interesting. And I'll put a link. I'm going to put a link to the different festivals because, and I'd like to write a piece about that because it's a fascinating world that I think a lot of people in the barbecue industry have no idea exists.
Hey, listen, you should interview Mendel.
Oh no,
Sure.
we've been emailing back and forth. Simon connected us, but we haven't. He's been out
That's
of
good.
town or been. He seems like a really cool guy just from the emails.
Yeah, he just moved from Kansas City to Florida, opened up, so he's still all over the place, but he's really cool.
Well, nice. Yeah, thank you. I'll reach out again after this. Now, what are your hours? Because you are closed.
So Friday and Saturday were closed. That's another thing why the kosher restaurant industry is really tough in general, that generally the two busiest days of the restaurant world were closed. So so we're open Sunday through Thursday. Sunday we open at 1 o'clock. Every other day we open at 12 o'clock, and we're open till 11 p.m. every day.
Wow, that's fantastic. And the pastrami, are you serving pastrami every day?
No, we're serving pastrami usually once on a week average, because it takes us like a week and a half to brine. So just that we don't have space or capacity to do more than that. Another point that you're mentioning, what you're speaking before about the Epiphany, everything about kosher, is that people come at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and most of the time I'm sold out on short ribs or the diner ribs, and they tell me, why don't you make more? So besides for the fact that I don't have capacity on the diner ribs, there's only six of those ribs per cow, and that's a cut that every supermarket and everybody wants. So there's only so much that goes out. So people are trying to understand, like, I have to explain to them that, yeah, we don't, we smoke as much as we get almost. So that's even brisket sometimes we'll sell by 8:30 or whatnot, and that's like such an unknown in the kosher thing. What do you mean you're out of your restaurant? You don't have food at night? I don't understand. So that's probably the hardest thing to, and I truly feel bad. Sometimes people, they come down from Muncie, they drive 2 hours or whatever it is. I really feel for everybody, but it really nothing you could do.
And maybe that's something that hopefully we can get the word across to call ahead and find out if you're coming from like a 2-3 hour distance, it would be helpful to call.
We're very accommodating in that aspect. If you could, listen, we'll put you something aside if you're driving 2-3 hours. We totally understand. But also the concept that, listen, if we're cooking 600 pounds a day on our busy days, and we sell out, there isn't really nothing we can really do.
Yeah, there isn't anything to do. Now, are people shocked sometimes? Do they have your food and then not even know that you're a kosher restaurant, or is it pretty identifiable in the restaurant that you're kosher?
So at this point, between we're a featured on Eater and other stuff, most people already know. But even people who are, I had people who keep eating on kosher, and they said that this is one of the most amazing, best one of the best barbecue they ever had. So like, we're honored. Like, we have not, non Jewish people coming here. It's really cool, and that's the one of the coolest things about that we have in this restaurant more than any other kosher restaurant. I feel the diversity. Like, you could have, like all types of ethnics, sitting. And yeah, people come up, not just people from Staten Island, which is like a 40, half an hour drive, and then people coming from Albany. Someone drove from Albany, non-Jewish. It's amazing.
And that's pretty funny because I think that barbecue would be one of the few things in the world that people from all denominations would come for, as opposed to, I think a lot of people probably wouldn't go to a co necessarily go to a kosher restaurant or seek it out, which it, that's interesting. I never really thought about it that way. That's in that Well, you know what's funny is I watched the video, the Eater, the Nick Solaris video that he did. That's easily made me the hungriest I've ever gotten from any video. It is gorgeous. Your food looks just ridiculous. Really, that and it's filmed well, but you can't get around the greatness. And it's just any but I'm going to put a link to it in this video because it's phenomenal. You guys are just putting out amazing stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that people need to know about you, what you guys do? I don't want to miss anything. I definitely need to come up, and people need, and I'll put your address. You're in Brooklyn. Is there a specific neighborhood of Brooklyn? Or?
We're in Crown Heights.
Crown Heights. Okay. Food wise, side wise, what sides do you guys have?
So we do a really good, we have a pit smoked beans, which is a big seller here. And then we have a candied sweet potato, which is a sweet potato with candied pecans on top.
Oh.
Nutritional, we got our mash, and we're simple. If it was up to me, I would make the menu half the size. But the Jewish people want, they come in, your menu's so small. I was like, listen, if it was up to me, I would make it even smaller. I would serve brisket, turkey, ribs, and that's it, really.
Hey, well, so that's great. Well, then, I hope you have a great rest of your week. I thank you. We've been trying to connect, and I do appreciate you taking the time. I know you are busy, and have a happy Thanksgiving and a
Thank
happy
you.
Hanukkah too.
Thank you very much. You too.
Excellent. Well, have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. I'll be up there.